So I was about, what was that, 89 maybe? I owed about $500,000 and had about $50,000 in good receivables. I would start every morning waking up in the old days and dialing in check numbers to First Interstate to see what had cleared and how much float I still had, you know, and if there was going to be something for payroll on Friday.
Really? So as I understand, you said $500,000 in debt?
I owed $500,000.
Oh my gosh.
About 55,000 in good receivables.
Wow. So,
but that speaks really more to Flagstaff and the people here. I mean, if I'd have been anywhere else, somebody would have closed me out, but everyone was patient and we scraped and clawed and started paying more attention and had somebody else do the estimate and had somebody else handle the money, and I got things turned around, and it's been a great ride.
Hello and welcome to The Climb, a show for aspiring entrepreneurs eager to learn about the beginnings, the struggles, and the roadmaps to success for life at 7,000 feet. This podcast will teach about the history of established business owners and entities in Northern Arizona. I am your host, Craig Moody. So if you're a business owner or a leader who wants to go to the next level, this podcast is for you. Today's guest is Mike Lovin of Lovin Contracting. Mike founded Lovin Contracting in 1985. 37 years later, Lovin Contracting is an energetic and successful firm servicing clients across the state of Arizona in a wide range of industry sectors. No matter what the project type, instilled into every Lovin Contracting team member's daily activities are Mike's ethical standards and high-quality construction methods. Mike is ultimately responsible for client satisfaction at Lovin Contracting and is actively involved in establishing and maintaining long-term relationships. Mike provides primary leadership in the development and implementation of the firm's construction standards, including the Lovin's Exclusives, a defined and technologically advanced set of practical and regionally relevant construction standards for the delivery of best-in-class projects, and their VPP Star Safety Program, the highest level of workplace safety certification available. Mike is responsible for the establishment of Lovin Contracting Philanthropic Program and is personally a member of multiple boards and nonprofit organizations across the state. His belief in the value of active citizenship drives community involvement with Lovin Contracting. In the year 1890, Flagstaff's population was listed at 964 residents. 100 years later, in 1990, this number grew to just shy of 46,000. According to census numbers, Flagstaff's 2021 full-time resident population was 77,000. Of course, this does not include all of the NAU students or many of the second homeowners. Over that time, Flagstaff can attribute its growth to the beautiful Coconino Forest, Northern Arizona University, the San Francisco Peaks, Snow Bowl, the I-40 and I-17 freeways, the Navajo Nation, amazing hiking, mountain biking, and high country endurance training, wildlife including elk, deer, antelope, and all of your normal forest creatures. Oh, and snow. Flagstaff averages between 90 and 100 inches of snowfall each year. Not to mention we are centrally located, 2 hours north of Phoenix Metro, 35 minutes from Sedona, 2 hours to Lake Powell, and 90 minutes to the Grand Canyon. Nowadays, you can be on the Las Vegas Strip in 3 hours and 30 minutes. All of this equates to the population growth. Over the years, Flagstaff has seen some amazing contractor groups that have helped make Flagstaff what it is today, whether that be the historic downtown district, NAU, or the gated luxury home communities. Lovin Contracting has been right there with them for the last 37 years, building such amazing commercial properties such as the Flagstaff Medical Center expansion, El Tavar renovation at the south rim of the Grand Canyon, Lumberyard Brewing, the YMCA, Twin Arrows Casino, and more recently, Mercedes-Benz and the Flagstaff Bona Joint Building on Schweitzer Canyon. Mike has recently transitioned to the role of Chief Executive Officer and handed the reins over to now acting President, Mr. John Hansen.
So I was actually born in Greeley, Colorado, and then in 1963, my parents met at University of Northern Colorado. In 1963, my dad took a high school teaching job in Winslow, but they didn't visit Winslow before he took the job. So that proved to be a not very popular decision with my mom. So fortunately, in 1964, a teaching job at Flag High came available, and the family moved to Flagstaff. And essentially been here ever since. I worked 1 year in Phoenix, but I live a half block from my mom. She's still in the house that I grew up in over in Coconino Estates. So
right.
Went to Flag High, We won't say what year we graduated. We just went to Flag High.
Not interested.
And attended NAU for 6 weeks and started my business in 1982 at the ripe old age of 22.
Really? So NAU is that good?
It is that good. That's what I teach a couple of classes. I say it's a superior institution. Just think what you can do in 4 years.
4 years. Absolutely. You know, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Love and Contracting became the largest locally owned builder in town in just 6 weeks of education at that amazing university.
Exactly.
Any brothers or sisters with you?
I have three younger sisters. One lives in Texas, a nurse. She worked in the business for about 12 years. Unfortunately, passed away. Cancer, and a younger sister that splits her residency between Flagstaff and Phoenix. They have a second home here.
And you went to, like you said, you went to Flagstaff High School. Did you play, you know, any instruments or sports? Or
I played the cello and the saxophone for a while, and then played a lot of football and was pretty good at that. But we went a few recruiting trips and realized that those guys were a lot bigger, better, faster, and much more interested than I was. So that was the end of that. And went to work in the local building trades as a laborer. During the summer, my dad was financing a couple of spec houses. So requisite to that, you have to employ that guy's son, right? Mm-hmm. But I can honestly say, first day on the job, I said, you know, I think this is my deal. You know, it's physical, but there's some fine motor skills to it. There's some math to it. And at the end of the day, you can really point to something and that somebody else is going to enjoy, or many people are going to enjoy. So I, like I say, first day on the job really felt good. And it felt like what I was going to do. And obviously here we are almost 50 years later of essentially doing that. So it's been a great ride and a good career.
Do you know how lucky you are to have that feeling? I've heard that in some of my other interviews, that they kind of knew from day one that this is what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, somebody like myself who had no idea what they wanted to do, that's just a great trait or memory to have for sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a good thing, and it's worked out quite well.
So. Right. I think you're selling yourself a little short on the football accolades. As I remember, you did get All-State or All-Conference honors.
All-Conference. I was a center at Flag High. So, no, put a lot of time and effort and energy into that, and I enjoyed it. So
yeah, that's
it was
great.
If you enjoy it, you tend to get pretty good at something.
Exactly. So you started off, you know, you left NAU and got a job. And what was it like as far as the bridge between there and the start of your own business?
So started in high school, worked in summers, had a couple jobs. I worked at the old Double D tire store for Gary Raper on Sundays, and that was enjoyable. That was a good education at a young age, a little sales and dealing with the public. So that was interesting. So in the summers, I'd work construction during the week, worked for Gary at the tire store on Sundays. Did not go to college immediately out of high school. I was working, and I would recommend against that. You know, once you start that commitment at school, to stick with it, because if you start making money and some independent, you know, maybe some different maturing, you're less prone to go back. So as I sat in that class, I was, you know, I wasn't making any money. So I worked for some local contractors here in town and worked a year in Phoenix for a high-end residential builder in Phoenix. That was really my mentor and learned a lot. Came back to Flagstaff. Kind of like the times we're facing now, that was the early 80s, 81, 82. Mortgage rates on houses were 19.5% adjustable rate. And there just wasn't a lot of building going on. And we had finished the ski rental building at the base of Snowball for the contractor I was working for and promptly got fired. So I would have fired me too. I don't hold that against them. I had it coming. And another individual who had a family was there. I said, well, we always had a lot of side work, and I said, well, I'll keep you busy as long as I can, but there's no guarantees. And then Pat ended up working for us for about 10 years, but that was February the 5th, 1982, got fired and went down to First Interstate Bank downtown and took $5,000 out of savings and put in a checking account and got started.
Loving Contracting.
Yeah, just daisy chaining them together. So.
Right. And so you were basically subbing everybody out, or did you bring employees online right away?
How did that work out? We did. It was just the two of us, you know, both as carpenters. So home remodels, cabinet installs, smaller projects like that. We used 1985 as the anniversary date for the company because that's when we were incorporated. And so a few years before that, but just a lot of remodels. 83, built my first house out in the country club. And that was fulfilling. That was an exciting time. But I love residential work, but it takes a lot of time.
Yes.
And so that project was about $150,000 for a house in the country club. cost of construction. Yes.
$150,000.
Exactly.
That won't even buy you an addition.
No. And about halfway through that, we rebuilt a gas station for Dave Clark, where the lube shop and the Starbucks is, mm-hmm. Ponderosa Parkway. And that was $150,000. And we did that in about 2 months. And I said, you know, I think I'm onto something. I think this commercial work makes more sense to me.
Okay.
Subsequent to that, I mean, we built probably a half dozen homes, larger homes in the community, but we really went into more of the commercial, built a lot of convenience stores. There was a 20-year period of time where we built and remodeled the majority of the Sonic drive-ins across the state. Kind of maturation was gas stations, some Sonics. And then in 86, we did our first medical project, which was a remodel for Northern Arizona Orthopedics. And we've really been in that medical arena, and it's a developed specialty of ours. It's about half of our book of work. So we're very proficient. We got a great team on the healthcare side, and we do that across the state.
Mm-hmm. And so in those first 5 years, you know, you're starting to gain steam, things are great, you're getting a few more employees, you know, you're booking bigger jobs, you're, you know, estimating now, you know, how did that work? Was that just a straight launch or?
No, the first 10 years were just for practice, Greg, out of the, things at Love and Contracting improved a lot once we realized that Mike shouldn't do any estimating or touch any money. And it just pretty good at field work and running the guys and relating to that. So once we all realized that, then things got demonstrably better. So
what was the trigger? What was the turning point when you realized that?
So I was about, 89 maybe? I owed about $500,000 and had about $50,000 in good receivables. I would start every morning waking up in the old days and dialing in check numbers to First Interstate to see what had cleared and how much float I still had, you know, and if there was going to be something for payroll on Friday.
Really? So as I understand, you said $500,000 in debt?
I owed $500,000.
Oh my gosh.
About 55,000 in good receivables.
Wow. So,
but that speaks really more to Flagstaff and the people here. I mean, if I'd have been anywhere else, somebody would have closed me out, but everyone was patient and we scraped and clawed and started paying more attention and had somebody else do the estimate and had somebody else handle the money. And I got things turned around, and it's been a great ride. We're about 60 employees now, like I say, and working across the state.
Absolutely. But, you know, going back to back then, do you say that, would you use the old cliche of it's who you know and not what you knew back then?
I just really need to, you know, pay attention. That's where I look back, you know, that education, you know, get a degree in something. It gives you discipline and function. I mean, I spent a lot more money learning everything on my own than I would have been 4 years of tuition at NAU.
Absolutely. So, yeah, the University of Hard Knocks, I also went there.
Yeah.
You know, I see that in my coaching program, coach contractors, especially the younger ones, and anybody that I coach, whether it's contractors or, you know, skincare or lawyers or whatever it is, you know, financials are huge. And we spend a lot of time, you know, reviewing financials and just teaching them the basics of financials. So I completely back you up as far as saying that, and that's the whole part of this is what can we do to inspire you to learn this quicker than we did?
Right. I say this often to the younger folks, where you make sure your first employee is a good bookkeeper.
Yes.
And then your second employee can be the good carpenter or the good electrician or whatever. But the first employee needs to be the good bookkeeper.
Wonderful advice.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. So, you know, I know one of your sisters got involved at about that point.
Yeah, no, my sister Elaine, after much pleading, she had worked for Flag Cabinet here in town. She's working for a cabinet shop in Lincoln, Nebraska. Elaine graciously came to the business and threw down her futon. We used to office upstairs above the old Flag Electric on Mike's Pike. And she put down her hot plate and her futon, and she would walk up to my mom's to shower. And she didn't take a day off for 2 years. And righted the ship from the financial standpoint. And then she was with the business for about 12 years.
Yeah.
So we, you know, where we are today is in large part due to her. And then subsequently our current CFO, we have been blessed, starting with Elaine, to have really very competent and longevity on our CFO side of the business.
Mm-hmm. And so you started a family at some point in there.
I was married in 91 and had two stepdaughters. They were 3 and 5 when I arrived on the scene. And that was good. You know, I think I only had to change one diaper, so that worked out pretty well. And they're really my kids to this day. One is a physician at Prescott and the other one is at Boston and going to do with a new grandbaby in June. So that's exciting news and good. So they're good kids and it worked out well.
Good. So at what point did we start looking at the location on Pinnacle?
You know, we were crammed in the basement or the attic at Flag Electric. And then we actually officed at 1 Reardon Road prior to that. And then the building we're in now, I think we have been in there 22 years. It was the original Flagstaff roofing building. Some of the old timers remember the Patterson brothers. They were a roofing company here for a long time.
And I remember that.
And we moved in there, 22 years ago. And many, many remodels. And we just finished one, kind of doubling the size on some of the buildings. So. But there again, you know, it's always interesting because it was paid $235,000 for that location. And we've all been there and some of the listeners will be there. It made all the sense in the world until the next morning when you wake up after you closed escrow. And, my God, what have I done? And who do I think I am? There's no way this is going to work. But it's been a great location.
It did work. And that's kind of part of taking risks. I mean, every day is calculated series of risks.
Well said. That's the role of management, really. And that's really my role more than anything is just managing risk through, you know, what you hope is good decision making. But as I'm fond of saying, remember, you can be wrong up to 49% of the time and still succeed.
Still succeed. I like that. Well said. My hope is that you can be wrong, you know, maybe 20% of the time if you invest in yourself and take good advice and spend a lot of time masterminding with, you know, like-minded people or people that have been there.
No, and I think that's the benefit you're providing with this coaching and these podcasts and interviews and all that's really, you know, that's important in prepping next generation. And a lot of us, you know, your pride gets in the way and you're not necessarily maybe willing to listen or whatever, but get your friends and get them from all different walks of life and you can really get a lot of good input on that and come to Craig Moody and get some coaching. And it's hard to make time for that sometimes, or maybe your pride gets in the way, but it's an important aspect of business. I mean, one of the best things we did is several years ago, we were in a peer group, you know, with 9 other contractors from all over the country. And part of that is oftentimes you just think you're the only one with your problems and suffering in silence. And you get together and you find out like, everybody's got this, you know,
right?
And you can work through it and find out what people are doing. So whether it's a peer group or some coaching or just some trusted confidants, it's, you know, get that outside advice.
Well, thank you. I don't know how much I owe you for that advice for plugging myself. But at the same time, I seriously, your peer group, I think the one word you might have left out is accountability.
Right.
Because the next time you guys met, you were had some goals to achieve. Am I right?
Absolutely. No, and it's, you know, all the financials, everything. It's all the warts and blemishes along with the successes are out on the table. And you get, you know, the facilitator kind of gives you a to-do list and areas of improvement. But it's nice to be able to pick up the phone and call the guys in San Antonio and say, what's your cell phone policy? We're struggling with ours. What's your, you know, team member cell phone policies?
Right.
So there's just good value.
Any little thing like that. Lots of contracts, you know, safety plans and.
Yeah. Or even, you know, peer groups. I think when you had Mammoth, you might've been in a trade association. Mm-hmm. You know, even at a trade association is a good thing to be participatory in.
It is huge. And it was a big part of my growth for sure was relying on other people. So, you know, I tell people don't reinvent the wheel, you know,
right.
Make phone calls, ask for stuff.
Right.
You know, you don't have to have a little planning session on everything. You could steal a lot of stuff from people that have already been there.
Yeah, I'd add to that too for next year issue, you know, be different. Talk to your legal counsel before something happens and not after, because they can't always fix that. It's always cheaper, in addition to your accountant, to have good, competent legal counsel too, because they can keep you out of a lot of trouble, but don't let your pride get in the way, you know. Call them beforehand and not afterwards.
Yeah. Steve Mattia, one of the first lawyers that I hired, said, I'm going to give you a lot of advice on how not to use me. And I think that was just invaluable. Yeah. You know what I mean? If you find good legal counsel, have a long conversation on what to do to not have to call them.
Exactly.
So you mentioned getting your foot in the door with FMC and a few of the other buildings. Does anything come to mind, you know, mid-90s, late 90s, before we got in the new location, after we got in the new location, that really started to launch you?
The healthcare was a big part, and you know, NIH has been a great partner and a big part of our success over the years, and they were able to leverage that expertise over a statewide basis. We worked for 6 different health systems across the state, so it's been kind of a series. And then from that, some of our first projects at the Grand Canyon in the mid 80s. And essentially we've maintained a footprint there.
What did you build up there?
Our first job was the postmaster's residence at the South Rim. And then a lot of work for the concessionaires and substantial amount of work for National Park Service on their historic buildings up there. We have a great team led by a gentleman named Audie Eckel that runs our historic preservation. And we really enjoy that because so many people, they're iconic buildings. So many people get to see them and enjoy them. And it's practicing carpentry in the true form, which we don't necessarily get in some of the, I started as a carpenter, so I really like that kind of work. But we don't necessarily get that if we're building central plants for hospitals and stuff. And then just kind of expanded from there. We did three of the car dealerships out at the Auto Mall, a series of one-off projects for National Park Service. One of our crazy jobs, there's a sewer line in Page that runs from Waweep across the Glen Canyon Dam Bridge over to the City of Page wastewater treatment plant. And several years ago, we replaced that. So it was all night work with bridge trucks hanging over the edge. Mm-hmm. And it was a crazy job.
Yeah, I let a lot of safety went into that one.
Yes, a lot of accountability.
That's Mike Lovin, founder and CEO of Lovin Contracting. Coming up after the break, Mike reminisces about some of his most iconic builds in Flagstaff, including the YMCA and the Little America remodel. Stay tuned, I'm Craig Moody, and you're listening to The Climb.
Allure AZ Med Spa is your go-to for all things skincare, self-care, and relaxation. At Allure, we specialize in results-driven treatments that are designed to take your skin to the next level. Stop in for a free imaging consultation where we can assess your skin and tell you exactly what it needs to make your skin goals come true. Whether it's acne, wrinkles, scarring, or dark spots, our highly trained estheticians can customize a treatment plan made just for you. Schedule online at allureaz.com today.
The Climb is brought to you by business coach and mentor, Craig Moody. If you or someone you know is a struggling small business owner who wants to go to the next level, I highly recommend you invest in a successful business coach like Craig. For more information on business coaching and mentoring opportunities with The Business Climb, visit his website at craigmoody.co. That's craigmoody.co.
Hi, this is Jake Bacon, chief photographer at the Arizona Daily Sun, and you're listening to The Climb.
Welcome back to The Climb. I'm Craig Moody. So we heard all about Mike's early years and how he slowly grew the company to among the largest in Northern Arizona today.
I don't know if a lot of people know this, but you know, you're one of the few builders in Northern Arizona that leaves Flagstaff and then brings money back to Flagstaff. When did that really start? When did you first take on out of town?
That started pretty early because with the Sonics, we started traveling with Sonic in the late 80s, and that was really for the next 20 years. And we, you know, touched every part of the state, but always based out of here. And that's how I like to think about it too. I mean, we're here and we're traveling. We leave some money in the communities that we touch, whether we're purchasing vehicles. I mean, we support those communities that we work in as well. But everyone is based in Northern Arizona, and the multiplier effect of the dollars stay here. So we've, you know, essentially traveled since the late 80s.
Have you ever crossed state lines to work?
We have done work for the Park Service at Carlsbad Caverns in New Mexico, in Northern New Mexico at Valley Caldera and Jimenez Springs.
Yeah, try not to do that too much, but for sure.
Yeah, and a little work up at Bullfrog Marina.
So. Mm-hmm. Right. So as far as the involvement of the company, like when did you really start to take a visionary role and start, you know, as you're growing, you're like, wow, I need to do this. Like, you know, was that help from peer groups? You know, did you have a lot of accountability or did it just happen naturally?
I mean, it really just occurred naturally. I owe a lot to a gentleman just passed away named Jack Beamer. He owned the Sonic on 4th Street. And he had us do the remodel, so that put us in with Sonic. And a couple of the first convenience stores we built for Jack. So really through that association and everything that he did for us, a lot of good came out of that. The healthcare, I was friends with Mickey Abbasaus. His dad was one of the principals in AO. So there's the first healthcare project.
Right.
And thus, so it really is relationship based. You know, we've changed like all businesses. If you'd have told me 15 years ago that as a general contractor in Flagstaff, you'd have a business development, client relations department, putting together proposals and responses to RFPs and doing digital marketing, I said, no, we're contractors. We don't need that. We'll never need that.
Right.
But that's been the biggest change, I think, in my career is the marketing, the social media, the outreach, and these RFPs, because project delivery methods changed. You know, it's just used to be design, build, as we say, you know, rip them and read them, and you move on to the next one. Now there's the qualifications. These books go, you know, if we do a federal RFP, you know, that'll be a couple hundred pages in that response. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that's really changed, but it's good because it's qualifications based with a little some pricing component in it. But we have just a couple stellar folks in our business development and client relations. They most always get us a seat at the table and get us an interview. But that singularly has probably been the largest change in the time that I've been in business.
What about 15 years from now? Do you see, as far as, you know, those that are going to replace you and where the building industry might be going?
I think, and you and I have talked, we've been through a succession planning. I was fortunate to sell my interest in equity in the business to the next generation at Lovin. That was a 7-year planned program. And now I'm in a new and different role. I think the scarcity of labor, you know, scarcity leads to innovation. So, you know, construction is still a pretty tactile parts and pieces business. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for automation, innovation. If you look to the European market and even domestically, a lot of masonry now is done by machine. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of that, and then prefab, obviously prefab is huge. Anything that could be built in a controlled environment and shipped to the job site typically has, you know, equal to or maybe better quality control. Mm-hmm. It certainly helps schedule. We're partnered with large national firm McCarthy on the replacement hospital for FMC. And that project will have a substantial amount of prefab. You can get these, you know, exterior skins prefab where you're skinning the building in 30-foot by 100-foot sections at a time. We're used to have scaffolding set up. So it's going to have to happen because
right.
Pricing and the scarcity of the labor market, which I don't feel is going to change anytime soon, you know. As you and I sit here today and it's 4 degrees outside, this is why young people do not go into the trades on days like today.
Exactly. Understood. And I can tell you the ones that are going into the trades that I know are going to benefit tremendously if they can keep their head on track and, no. You know, watch their checkbook and have somewhat of a growth mindset attitude. I know several that are in the trades and, you know, frankly, they didn't go to college. You were talking about stay in college and get your degree. You don't always have to do that. It's not for everybody. It wasn't for me. So, you know, these ones who did get into trade schools and are focused and, you know, they're 28 and they have travel trailers and they have all kinds of things that the people, the college degree, you know, the people with the college degrees that were supposed to be paying those loans back, you know, don't have. So, you know, it's each its own. So,
And that's good. I mean, I think, you know, physical labor and having a trade or a skill set with your hands is suddenly valued again and getting priced at what it's truly worth. And that will continue. So it's a good path to pursue, certainly.
Right. So as far as the future goes, has the market been requesting anything about more green building? I would say you talk about prefab. What about green?
Yeah, green is always a consideration. You know, it's a mandate on a lot of federal projects. So you have to be versed in that. 7 or 8 years ago, we did the 6th LEED Platinum building in the National Park Service, the Science Resource Management building at the Grand Canyon. So certainly, you know, innovation, energy conservation, and just, you know, basic HVAC materials and technology and everything, it's just so much better now. It doesn't make it green, but energy consumption, those things which are important to all of us, just on the technology side, it's a big part. You know, buildings mm-hmm. consume a lot less energy than they used to.
Right. YMCA, you built, you know, lots of the medical center has seen several expansions over the year, the North Wing and all that. You know, is there any iconic builds in town that really come to mind?
The Y was a big job for us at the time. I think that was one of the larger single contracts we had held up to that point. So we were pretty excited about it. And so many people, you know, it's a community center. And it's similar to our preservation work, you know, Kolb Studio, name them all at the Grand Canyon, all favorite projects. But mm-hmm. not necessarily, I don't know how to put it quite right, but it's not necessarily for profit. When can we get open?
Right.
But it's for the community good, similar to the health system work. A lot of people are going to get in there. A lot of people are going to benefit from it and enjoy it if you're at the South Rim. So those are good projects.
Right. And you feel, you know, like you're giving back to the community for sure. It's not all about the dollars at the end of the day.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Little America.
I was 12 years old when they built Low America here in 1972, and obviously that was a big game changer for this community. A real destination resort type facility, and everybody in town, because what, 72, this is probably a town of 25,000 owners, or 25,000 people, and why in the world would Mr. Holding be building that facility here? It will never work,
right?
But we've been fortunate, a long relationship with them, and then the big remodel here 6 or 7 years ago of the main lodge and all the rooms. And that's one that we are, you know, particularly proud of. And it has aged well. It still looks great in there. And it was a big job. And thanks to Fred Reese and the Little America family for putting trust in us, because that was a very large scale project.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It was a great remodel and you know, the landscape and everything from them is definitely, you know, we're lucky to have that. And I think what he saw was I-40 was going to have a few more cars on it in the future, where he was a little smarter than we were.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Anything else come to mind as far as, you know, around the state, or, you know, how lucky were we to go to the Grand Canyon and be able to build up there and then not forget, oh my gosh, this is one of the seven wonders of the world that I'm looking out over here every day when I'm leaving.
It's just a cool environment. When we did the theater at the Mather Point, you just hear so many different languages and cultures, and it's just kind of a cool place to work.
It is.
There's just a lot going on.
Try not to take it for granted. Even when you don't have a hardware store right down the street and you had to bring everything out of Flagstaff.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So I know you did receive some awards, according to the website. You know, you got recognition for the Lumberyard Tap Room, Red Award.
Yeah, Red Award for Tap Room, Barbara Antonson Park in Sedona for City of Sedona. It's not the size of the project. It's just a cool structure. It's a concert venue at Posse Grounds down there. And that was an ENR award winner. We received an award for Little America. So there's been Engineering News Record is kind of the industry standard. Mm-hmm. And we attend those and submit every year, and been fortunate to walk away with some awards on that, because that's judged by your peers in the industry. So really, it means
a lot.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I believe you won a safety award too.
Yes, we're VPP, so it's a voluntary protection program through ADOSH. So it is about a 2-year vetting process, and then they review us every 3 years. So essentially, in simple parlance, we're self-policing on our safety side in the eyes of ADOSH. And we're only one of 5 contractors in the state that have that, and everyone else is in a... The other 4 contractors are Engineering News Record top 100 contractors. So we're very proud of that. And 3 years ago, received an award. It was Lovin' Contracting in the Johns Manville facility in Phoenix. So if you're standing on the podium with Johns Manville, you know, feels pretty good for the, for the guy from Flagstaff.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So, you know, we're slowing down. What do you do for fun? You know, I believe you have a second location out of town now.
Yes, I have a house in Yuma, and people get tired of me talking about it, but I like talking about it. So I do some farming down there. So I'm a Sunkist certified grower. So I grow lemons for Sunkist, and then we have some other properties that lease out for summer wheat and winter lettuce. So I like the farming. My great-grandfather actually farmed in Yuma, Colorado, which is a place. So there's some tie there, some significance.
A little bit of family.
In Yuma, Arizona. So enjoy the farming and enjoy the warm weather.
Absolutely. And I don't know why you're not there today.
That's poor planning.
Hopefully you're heading down there soon.
That's part of the 49%.
So one of your other grandfathers was a builder?
My great-grandfather was a contractor, and then he got smart and opened a lumber yard instead, went upstream there, the more profitable side of the business.
More profitable.
And then my grandfather was a general superintendent for a large contractor in Texas, built a lot of hospitals and schools. Mm-hmm. And then it skipped a generation with my dad and then back at it.
So it was in your DNA.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. So who influences you and why?
I'm pretty fortunate. I have broad spectrum. I mean, I've developed a real close relationship with a young man down in Yuma that keeps an eye on the farming side of things down there. And, you know, and he brings a good perspective. We talk about construction just like we talk about farming. And sometimes I have something to say to him, and sometimes he can help me out. And just developed 3 or 4 really good friends over the years that really influence. And I think my mom's dad on my mom's side, my grandfather, he was really kind of my father figure and had a big influence on me in the early years. Kind of a hard charging, no nonsense guy, but it got the point across.
What advice would you give to someone that says, I want to own my own contracting company someday?
Say it thank you, because we need you in the industry. But I think you'll find it'll be a fulfilling career. I mean, the best part about the construction business is the big sandbox theory. And you had that a little bit with Mammoth. Yeah, I remember when that burned down and we rebuilt it. I mean, mm-hmm. you just drive around town and there's all that validation or, you know, and it's good for your ego or you. It's a very fulfilling career. I mean, it is long hours and it can be challenging because it's very dependent on a lot of other people with all of your subcontractors and those things. But go slow, be careful, you know, get that bookkeeper and try and grow nice. Organically, you know, a couple, 3% a year. Don't try and take over the world. Mm-hmm. If you do good work and have good projects and quality product and keep those relationships, the rest will pretty much take care of itself.
Right. Exactly. Get a good bookkeeper, get a good accountant, which those are two separate people,
right.
A good lawyer, like you talked about, and surround yourself with really good people. Constantly be questioning and asking questions.
Yeah. Don't pick up nickels in front of a steamroller. I mean, mm-hmm. well, not every project makes money and we acknowledge it. We just don't want to get hurt too bad, but make sure that you've put out the best product that you possibly can, win, lose, or draw.
Absolutely. Talking to my clients about what not to take was some big ones as far as, you know, having your dream, you know, finding your niche. And you found your niche early on.
Right.
What's your elevator pitch? You're 30 seconds in an elevator. What do you do now?
The elevator pitch now is just kind of risk management. And my new role is I enjoy being out in the field and it's really evolving into building a stronger, more consistent relationship with the team members, getting out there on the front lines of that. Some risk management in the office, more time in the field, and more time with some of these clients that we've had for 20 years. Kind of right. The ramp down is to stay with those clients that have been with me while the new group develops some of their new clients. And it's a good way to kind of ramp it down with current projects.
Mm-hmm. That's admirable that you were able to, you know, sell the company back to the employees. And again, like you said, you're an employee again as of 12/31/2021, I believe.
Correct.
So what does the future of Lovin hold? How long do you think you'll stay on?
I'll be there through next year. I'm going to start tapering out my hours because people say, what's the hardest thing in retirement? My answer to that is the first day you don't get your check. That first Friday when you look at it, that's the hardest thing.
That is pretty hard.
So next year, can I start consciously ramping down my hours, take mm-hmm. a little less income, kind of easing me into that. But no, I'll always be available, you know, at any level and get to keep my office and I'll be there as long as they want me, but, you know, lesser capacity because they have to go get their bumps and bruises and chart their own path as well. And I don't want to be that guy.
Uh-huh.
Comes in, why'd you do that for?
Why'd you do that for?
No, yeah, it's, you know, and it's kind of fun to sit in the meetings these days and not really have to say anything unless they ask you, because that's part of taking the training wheels off.
Right. You said you're like at 60 employees currently.
Correct.
You know, what is that structure? How many estimators do you have?
5 estimators right now.
Oh, wow. So, but did you tell them that, you know, and when that time comes, let's just give you some advice, you know, is when that time comes, say, hey, look, I can't be there because I got to pick lemons to get a paycheck.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm dependent on this other business now.
Absolutely. Well, Mike, I really appreciate it. This was a great interview. Thank you for all you've done for Flagstaff, for Northern Arizona. You definitely, you know, put your footprint here and will always be remembered.
Well, thank you. Last thing is, it's important to give back. We do a lot of philanthropy and it's important to give back. And this has been a true pleasure. So thank you, Craig.
Yeah, absolutely. You do a lot of philanthropy, you know, as far as, you know, giving back to the community from anywhere from a T-ball team all the way up to what was, you know, some of your bigger, you know, philanthropy.
Made a large donation to hospice for a hospice house here.
Mm-hmm.
Support, you know, NEH, obviously, because of the importance of their mission in the community and their relevance to us as a company. So give until it's uncomfortable.
Correct. That's well said. Mike Lovin, I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Have a good day.
All right. Thank you, Craig.
Currently, Mike is the president of the board of directors for the Coconino County Industrial Development Authority and a board member for both the Raymond Foundation and Northern Arizona Leadership Alliance. Mike's philanthropic efforts include Flagstaff Family Food Kitchen, the Flagstaff Community Stewards Program, and multiple additional charitable boards, councils, and volunteer programs across Northern Arizona. Today's episode was brought to you by Lovin Contracting. Head over to their website at lovincontracting.com to learn more about this amazing company. Thank you to our sponsors, Allure Aesthetics and the Business Climb Coaching and Mentoring.
Thank you for listening to The Climb. If you like and find this episode valuable,
Please subscribe and be sure to tell us your biggest takeaway by writing a review on Apple Podcasts. You can also head over to my website, craigmoody.co, that's craigmoody.co, for all social medias, business, coaching, and mentoring, and to grab a copy of my books. While you're over there, please share your feedback, questions, or topics that you'd like for us to tackle in future episodes. Special thanks to Ms. Daniela Werner and Jeff Rendell. The Climb is recorded at the historic Dolan House here in Flagstaff, thanks to Mr. Andrew Meyer. Our intern is Jamie Smith, and special thanks to Alu Apollo from Pod Curated for producing this week's episode. I'm Craig Moody, and be sure to tune in next week for a new and exciting episode of The Climb.